The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Now we're returning to that incident at the Hilton Hotel in Washington last night, the White House Correspondents' Dinner, Donald Trump attending for the first time as president, but of course didn't get to deliver his remarks. And there was much anticipation of what he might say because he sees the press generally, unless they're the friendly press like Fox, he sees them as the enemy. Niall Stanage is an associate editor at The Hill. He's covered U.S. politics for decades and contributed to many media outlets. And he's also had to suffer the sharp end of White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt's tongue. He's on holiday in Ireland at the moment, but of course, like the rest of us, he's been monitoring events overnight in Washington. Niall, good morning and welcome.
Morning, Pat. How are you doing?
You might remind our listeners, first of all, how you raised the ire of Karoline Leavitt recently.
Oh, this was an instance in the White House press briefing room a couple of months ago where I asked a question about the behaviour of ICE, the Immigration Enforcement Authority, and raised the then recent killing of Renee Good. Karoline Leavitt asked me my opinion of that. I said that my opinion was essentially wrong, that the killing of Renee Good was wrong. And Karoline reacted, I would say, angrily to that. People can see it online if they wish to do so.
She called you a left-wing hack.
She did, yes.
All right, now, what is your reaction to what happened last night? Because I want to tell you already, monitoring what's going online, there is huge scepticism about what happened last night, whether or not it was indeed an attempted lethal attack on President Trump.
Yeah, I mean, I know that there is quite a lot of speculation, and some people of a more left-wing persuasion are of the notion that this is some sort of false flag operation. I don't know that that is true, but I would say, Pat, having attended that dinner on at least a couple of previous occasions, this guy was stopped an appreciable distance from the actual ballroom where that is taking place. He was actually apprehended on a different floor of the hotel. So there was some distance still to go before he would have posed serious danger to the people in the room. I think what you're alluding to is the broader sort of false flag theory. I tend to be sceptical of those theories, but I think it speaks to the degree of scepticism that people have around events in the US.
Now, when we look at the attempt on Trump's life where he had his ear clipped much blood was seen, he immediately rose from behind the dais and raised his fist, which became an iconic pre-election image. His behavior on this occasion was markedly different. I mean, what happened when you look at the various videos that are now available, you see that the Secret Service rushed J.D. Vance off the stage first, while Trump remained immobile, pretty much sitting at the dinner table. It was quite extraordinary.
Yes, that was an unusual situation. Now, I think that there is often a situation where it is chaos rather than conspiracy that is pertaining in these moments. But you're right, Vance was hustled off. Trump then was sort of moved along and appeared to fall on his way off the stage and was hoisted back to his feet and moved off. I know there's also been a lot of online speculation because at the moment that one hears what we now know were gunshots ringing out, Melania Trump seems to pay quite close attention to that, and Donald Trump less so. Now, that could easily be because, frankly, his hearing isn't the best, as one notices when one is in close quarters with him. But it is, part of this whole picture where people are curious as to what went on.
Yeah, as I say, he sits there immobile, not seemingly aware of what was going on. And just before the whole incident unfolded, they had this mentalist performing, and he was doing close-up magic with Trump's party at the table. And there were kind of oohs and ahs from others at the table at what he had done, like this close-up magic. Trump looks at him in blind indifference is the only way to describe it, as if he wasn't really sure what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, he might not just be that impressed by the mentalist. I have no idea, Pat. Look, Donald Trump is someone who is clearly mostly interested in and by himself rather than other things that are going on around him. It wouldn't surprise me. I don't think it is really fair to ascribe something sort of wrong with him by virtue of his lack of apparent interest in that magician. I think that is quite standard behavior from Trump.
Now, what do you think the impact of this will be? I mean, mean, the pre-election impact of the Butler incident was probably to boost his numbers in the polls. Those numbers are currently flagging in the United States, even among Republicans. I think he's at a record low for Republican support for a Republican president. Independents are not impressed by him, and certainly the Democrats are utterly anti-Trump. But do you think this will offer a boost to his poll numbers?
Potentially, although I don't know that it will be any appreciable boost. It is firstly worth noting that we don't know yet exactly what the motives of this man was who has been apprehended as the alleged attacker from last night. But secondly, Pat, I think we're in a much different situation now that Trump is president and some of his actual decisions have proven unpopular. That seems to me much different from the Butler shooting when he was a candidate. So, for example, one of the reasons his numbers are flagging to the degree that you rightly note is the war in Iran generally, but specifically the effect of the war in Iran on fuel prices in the United States. That appears to be reaching, I would say, voters who are not particularly ideological of one ilk or another, but who are unhappy to see those prices going up.
Now, you've been in and out of the White House so many times. The question of deflection and diversion, I mean, when you ask an awkward question, you're put down and immediately eliminated as either fake news or a left-wing hack or whatever it might be. And the same goes for anyone who embarks on any kind of robust questioning, either of Trump himself or any of his acolytes, you know, whether it's Pete Hegseth, who can be quite belligerent with members of the press, and certainly Caroline Leavitt. For such a young woman, she has assembled quite an arsenal of put-downs. The art of deflection is really been, I suppose, raised to a high degree of proficiency by this White House.
Yes, I think that is fair. I think that oftentimes what happens is that these things are used as tactics by the White House. I would include my own incident in that, but there have been many, many others where there is a sort of threefold effort to deflect, as you say, to perhaps intimidate other people in the room who would be less inclined to ask those kinds of questions, but also to create a kind of performative animus with the media, which of course appalls some people, but also delights a certain proportion of the Trump MAGA base. So in any situation like that, the journalist and the president, or the journalist and the press secretary, are each heroes to half the country and villains to the other half. And the White House thinks that that's, I think, a fine way to go.
Now, do you think any of this is going to change the nature of security around Donald Trump? I mean, this is the first time as president he attended the dinner, and it was rumored that he was going to have a right go, including those remarks from Caroline Leavitt that shots would be fired. I think she was being metaphorical there, that there would be certain attacks on the media establishment. But do you think anything is going to change on foot of this particular incident?
The security around Trump in general, Pat, as you would well imagine, is very tight. I think that what might change is security around this annual dinner, if it continues, because in past years I have attended. And one thing that's very notable is the hotel itself. It's a massive hotel. It's not like it closes down for the events. So people who are going to the ballroom, which is actually in underground, pass through places where hotel guests can often come out and look to see if they can spot any political or media celebrities or admire the style. And so there is an inherent security vulnerability in that respect, in that event. I think in relation to Trump in a broader sense, there's already very tight security around him in most circumstances.
I'm reminded of what I think it was, whether it was the IRA or Sinn Féin said this during the Troubles, you know, about the security forces have to be lucky all the time. We only have to be lucky once.
Yes, it was. I can actually tell you, it was in the wake of the Brighton bombing that was directed at Margaret Thatcher, that she would have to be lucky forever.
And of course, they almost got her in Brighton. But that is the question for the security service, for the Secret Service, who are deployed to particularly protect the president and his family and his entourage and so on. I wonder, can that be any more restrictive than it already is? Because it is pretty restrictive. I've dealt with them when President Clinton was in Dublin, for example, and I was introducing President Clinton from the platform. That was my job. I shook hands with the president, and then I followed him down when he was shaking hands with members of the public after his speech. and I was manhandled out of the way by the Secret Service. You know, and I thought to myself, if I wanted to have a go at him, I would have had a go at him up above on the platform, not when he's talking to the punters. But anyway, they made no apology for that. And I had the same experience when Ronald Reagan was in Ballyporeen. You know, they don't take any prisoners.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. And of course, there is a general balance, Pat, that often strikes me when I'm in Washington about the balance between security and the balance between a free society. And this applies to political figures beyond the president. Often lower ranking but well-known political figures do want some kind of interaction with the public because they don't want to be in a bubble, and they do see, I think, some political advantage in still being accessible. But of course, accessibility is vulnerability in a sense when people have nefarious intent. So, you know, I mean, for example, President Obama used to complain about the fact that he just couldn't really go for a walk about or do anything unexpected because it's an entire security operation that moves every time the president moves. And so those dynamics, I think, are by their nature almost impossible to resolve. The more security you have, the less freedom you have. The more freedom you have, the less security you have.
On that note, Niall, thank you very much for joining us during your holiday break. I hope you're enjoying that too. You've been blessed with perhaps American sunshine today.
Brought the weather with me, Pat. Thanks very much.
You did indeed. Niall Stanage, Associate Editor at The Hill, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.